This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Yeah, with Hurts, he's playing hesitant. He's playing indecisive. I mean, I think the two issues with Jalen Hurts this season and in this game, one is that he is turning down throws. Now, I don't want to make it sound like, oh my gosh, they schemed it up and guys were wide open. But there are throws you see that you would say most quarterbacks are going to kind of pull the trigger and cut that loose and give their player a shot there. And he's hesitant to do that so far this season to a pretty large degree. And so if you're going to play that way, it's sort of a conservative way to play, then you can't also have the turnovers. But he leads the league in fumbles. He's got 7 turnovers on the season. That's second most in the NFL. So he's just playing with the hesitancy.
The voice of Shio Kapati on the morning show talking about Jalen Hurts, and that's not a good combination. Let's just be real. Hesitancy, not making big plays, but also turning the football over. 215-592-9494. A little Jalen Hurts temperature check on this bye week Wednesday. We'll get to a lot of Phillies. Seth Joyner is going to join us coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll get his take on Jalen and the team off the loss and where they're at right now. We'll talk to Elliot later in the show, and we'll start looking ahead here to the Phillies against maybe the Mets, who won last night up 1-0. Over the Milwaukee Brewers. Hugh, that was interesting hearing from Shield there, because you know he's watching the tape and he's saying there are throws that are there to be made, and he's not pulling the trigger. Hugh, do you think at this point he's trying not to throw picks, so he's holding back on the throws?
Playing a little conservative,
yeah,
because he doesn't feel like he can get it in there. Who knows? I don't know, but it's one of those things where I feel that as a coach, you have to do everything you possibly can to help make him comfortable and put him in position to feel that he can make those throws. I don't know. Again, I have to keep saying this because I don't know what's going on in the meetings. I don't know what's going on at practice. But somewhere along the line, it just feels like, and it looks like, Jalen might have some confidence issues.
So that, I think that's totally fair. I also wonder, and I think it was Dan Orlovsky I saw the other day, said on ESPN, feels like the whole Eagles offense is in slow motion. Sometimes Jaws was on talking about Jalen's processing and how quickly he's got to get through things.
It's unfortunate. Out of four games, he's had two poor games. The Green Bay game, the opener, was a down game, and this was a down game this week. And he's had two solid games in between. But, you know, But I think Tom Brady was said it a number of times, and it's something we've been talking about for a long time here in Philadelphia because we see it every week, and Tom doesn't see him every week. He's got to speed up his game. He's got to speed up the reading of defense process, and the coaching staff has to help him speed up that process with play design.
Sure.
It's just a part of his game right now. It should be better after 5 years in this league. He's got all the God-given talent in the world to be a great quarterback in this league, but the offensive system must set him up for success, and he must understand he got to pick up his tempo and get the ball out of his hand quicker.
It's the truth. Jaws said it the other day. I mean, that was the play where he got strip-sacked. It was too slow. I mean, if you go watch the play again, I think he said Calcaterra was open. I think Jalen said that after the game. He was trying to get it to one of the tight ends over the middle.
Yeah.
He is open, but it takes too long. Like, you know, the pass rusher that left and came back from the shadow realm, you can't hold the ball for 4 seconds in the pocket and think something good's going to happen.
You can't, because you know that's one of the things. And I think back to the practices that I've been in where I hear coaches say, hey, man, you got to let that go. If it's not there within 3 seconds, that's a long time. Let the ball go, because somebody's coming. You best believe that. Somebody's coming after you, and you're putting the ball in harm's way from getting strip-sacked or just losing yardage.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do that. So you have to speed that clock up.
Let's go to Demon, who's up next. What's up, Demon?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning, buddy. What are you thinking today?
Oh, man, listen, I think it's a little bit of both. Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And I just want to explain to you guys why.
Mm-hmm.
Morning to you, Hugh. Just to say that too, brother.
Morning.
Good morning, man. All right. Top of the day to you, brother. Let's get into it. I say it's Sirianni because of the call, like the other caller said. I agree with that. And I say it's Hurts because of his decision-making. But I also agree with Hugh because Hugh said something major. He said, listen, this is fixable. And I believe it's fixable. And let me explain why. You remember last game, Baker was tearing us up, those short routes, back and forth, cut across, all that. When Jalen was in trouble, wasn't nobody turning around. It wasn't no short routes. So the play calling, and then on top of that, he didn't run the ball. If, I believe this. If we come out, and I don't care what happens, give it to 2-6 three times in a row. I don't care what happened. Back to back to back to back. I don't care. Get that established. Get it going. I guarantee we're going to make get the yards. And then after that, Jalen can then can dunk over the top because now everybody coming in. We're not playing to our strength. Our strength is Saquon Barkley in the running game. We got beasts up front. What y'all think?
I think that is the best part of their
offense
totally right now. Yeah, it is.
I totally agree. And I'm of the mindset as a former defender, do what's working for you right now. Slow the game down. I don't think they did anything Sunday to help the defense out or to help the quarterback out. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
And that's where I'm at, Hugh. That's why I said, man, listen, I got Jalen and them little minor mistakes. You know, skinny Batman should have came over a little harder than the fumble that was totally him. But along with that, you got to help him out. And that's the coordinator's responsibility and the coach. Call these plays, these quick reads, these quick drop backs. The ball is out of his hand fast. You know, like Baker was. Our line didn't have a chance to get to Baker, man. We ain't had a chance to get to him. Just think about it.
Well, Dan, I'm glad you brought that up. Dan, we appreciate the phone call. Good call. You know, on Sunday, Baker had the quickest time to throw in the NFL.
Quickest.
And Jalen right now, I heard Joe this morning say he's 32nd in the NFL holding the ball in the pocket. It's mm-hmm. like one guy, and that was just one game for the Bucs. But in that game we saw against us, he got rid of the football quick. And meanwhile, Jalen's holding it. And then bad things happen. All right, so Kyle mentioned earlier in the show, and people brought up the coaching here. How much is the coaching's fault, right? Sirianni, more, even though he just got here. He's supposed to make a big difference. So far, it doesn't look like a difference. Or how much this is just Jalen Hurts. So one thing that we talked about a lot last year, remember here we talked about how much the Eagles did not use motion last mm-hmm. year. They were kind of towards the bottom of the NFL. They were not running an offense like other teams. And we wanted to fix that, right? So we got Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
And Kellen Moore last year, I believe, was top 10, the Chargers were, in terms of motion, in terms of getting guys in motion to, you know, help the quarterback out, make things easier for the way he could kind of see what's going on at the line of scrimmage. Well, so the first motion report came out. Every 3-4 weeks, they put this out.
The first motion report came out.
We got our first, it's like the report card in school. We got the first market period is in. And the Eagles right now rank 19th in the NFL. At snap motion at the snap. They're mm-hmm. 19, so I think a little bit higher than last year, but not high, right? Not even top half of the NFL.
It started out pretty good at the beginning of the season, though, didn't it?
It did. Week one, that touchdown they got to Saquon was off of motion, the wheel route. So, Hugh, if you had to guess why, like, we know they wanted to do more motion. We all think they should do more motion. Kellen Moore did a lot of motion last year, and so far this year, compared to the rest of the league, they're 19th. If you had to guess why do you think they're not higher?
I would probably say because of the personnel changes over the last couple of weeks, guys being injured, guys not knowing where to be, Jahan Dotson probably not being comfortable mm-hmm. in the offense. I mean, it could be a number of things because, like, to your point, it started off great.
Week one, it felt like they did more.
It felt like they did more, but I think as we progressed through it, something happened where, I hate to say it like this because people are going to jump all over, but they had to dumb it down a little bit, you know, or pull it back. That's the better word. Pull it back a little bit. In order to get everybody up to speed.
Like when you say something silly, you say, I'm going to pull that back.
Yeah.
pull it back.
They had to pull it back a little bit.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like they're going to be different coming out of the bye.
I think you're probably onto something here. That with all the different personnel, with no AJ the last 3 weeks, with no Devontae last week, that they had to pull it back a little bit, they've done less of it. But, Kyle, there's people out there that think maybe this is because Sirianni's hand is still in this, that it's not really all Kellen Moore's offense. I don't know. I mean, we could throw out a bunch of theories. I don't know why, but I expected more motion than we've seen so far.
I don't know how many different offenses or different coordinators we have to go through before we realize that maybe they are trying to play to the quarterback's strengths. They're still not throwing over the middle of the field. They're not doing as much motion as thought they would. They're not doing under center. Like, do they think that it would be a detriment to this offense to have Jalen Hurts turn his back to the defense as a guy who already holds the ball for too long. Like, I think this is very clearly a Jalen Hurts problem. It's just easy for people to put this on Nick Sirianni and to get Nick Sirianni out of this offense. And maybe he has some involvement. But, like, there's no way you can convince me that they're this brain dead and trying, like they're, I don't think they're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. I think this is what they believe that is the most beneficial for Jalen Hurts. And, like, I just think people are ignoring the real issue here because it's convenient to look at Nick Sirianni.
The problem for us as fans and for them as they try to evaluate their team moving forward is they didn't separate the chicken and the egg. Sirianni's still here. So, like, if you want to point to the coaching and Sirianni, what are we going to do? You're right. You know, I can't argue with you. Maybe it is his fault. But Kyle makes a fair point. They changed the coordinator. It's the same nonsense. Like, so maybe it is just the quarterback. But the Eagles are going to need to figure out what the real issue is moving forward, Hugh, because they're going to have to make big decisions. Like, if they turn it around and they win, that's everyone's happy. It's easy. But if this thing keeps middling along, they're going to have to try to figure out what the real issue is, and I don't know how you figure it out.
I think, for me, with my reckless speculation...
Oh, that's my favorite thing we do.
Yeah. I think part of it is Jalen has to be able to adapt, or he has to be, what's that, malleable? he has to be able to adjust.
I like that word. malleable is a nice sign. It's a fun word.
You like that. I mean, that was the right word.
He has to be able to adjust, man.
And that pronunciation.
And it doesn't feel like he's doing that. It doesn't feel like he feels like he's culpable in any of this. The answer that he gave this weekend when he was asked about his coach, we have our moments. That doesn't feel like you know the weight of the situation.
Mm-mm.
Like, Coach Sirianni's going to get some heat. You getting heat too, brother. I know you don't like to watch, you know, Sports Center or all the other stuff, but they ain't just talking about Coach Sirianni. Like, you know, you might have your support group telling you that everything is cool and Coach Sirianni's an idiot. I don't know what's going on. I'm just speculating like I do. But when you turn on TV, they're talking about you too. And they're wondering whether or not you are the guy that they thought you were. So don't get it twisted. Do not get it twisted. You and Coach Sirianni are joined at the hip. Y'all Siamese twins at this point. So whatever happens with this team goes as you go.
No doubt.
And if you're having struggles, yeah, they're going to blame the coach. But, hell, they're going to be looking at you, too, because this is your second coordinator that you've had in a short period of time.
Well, it's third overall.
Well, I was like the last two years.
Oh, the last 2 years, yeah.
The last 2 years. Well, I'm not going to say this year is bad because the story's still being written.
Right.
But you get where I'm going. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm picking up, what I'm putting down. And this coordinator came in somewhat highly decorated.
It was a big deal when they got him. Yeah.
And you're looking at, and whether you admit it or not, or you want to believe it or not, you're being compared to Dak Prescott. Like, that's the truth. You're being compared to him and the success that Dallas Cowboys offense had with Kellen Moore.
I would sign up for him playing like Dak
in a heartbeat.
Without a question.
That's what you're looking at, bro.
So you threw that name. Let me give you a name. I'm going to give you a quarterback name that's in the back of my mind here. And I hope this has a better outcome.
Kenny Two Gloves?
Well, no, I don't. I'm not.
You're not there yet?
I'm not there yet. Not there yet. But I'm going to give you a former MVP of the league that I feel like we're on the trajectory of here. And Jalen's got the only one that could fix this. This is reminding me of Cam Newton's career. Yeah. And look, Cam Newton had a nice career.
Really?
I mean, that's not Jamarcus Russell.
It hurts me.
Well, because go look at Cam Newton's career. He had one special season in 2015. They went to the Super Bowl, just like the Eagles did in 2022. He was the MVP of the league, which Jalen probably would have been if he didn't get hurt in Chicago that year. But that was an outlier year. It was the only year he was special. And I never thought Cam ever refined his game, right? He was a runner. He had a very strong arm, not the most accurate, but his flaw is he never fixed them. I always thought like he was oblivious to he needed to fix these other things, and he just kind of was there for three or four more years. Wasn't great ever again, and then it ended. I hope that's not Jalen, but right now it's a very similar start to their careers.
I don't feel like that's the case because I feel like Jalen has grown as a passer. And I think the numbers bear that out for the most part. The number that we have to get past and we have to work on is the turnovers.
That's a big one.
That's a big – and I'm not trying to diminish how much weight that number carries, but I feel like Jalen has evolved as a quarterback. He just needs to figure out how not to turn the ball over and let the ball go faster. Jalen's had some good plays this year. I'm not about to sit here and say that Jalen's regressed to the point where you can't do anything with him. I think there needs to be some tweaking done. Hell, bring his dad in the coach, help him coach. His dad is one of the guys that I know helped him get to where he was when he went to college and everything. Sure. Maybe his dad can help fix him. Maybe you need to be, like, this is one of those situations, Joe, that I feel like it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world when it comes to our quarterback and whether or not we can get this shit righted. I really feel like that.
It's not, we're not there. We're just going in the wrong direction. And then we got to fix this quick. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Julio, what's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, listen, man. Damn, we got to get the pop in here? Oh, man, we in trouble, man. We got to get the pop up in here, man.
sometimes, you know, dad the only one that can get it right, though. Chuck, you know how that goes. Dad, you know, if dad got to come up here, you better straighten up, because you know you don't want pops acting up.
That's why I say we're bringing a belt behind you too, huh?
Yeah, I didn't got whooped at school before. It ain't a good feeling.
Yeah, no, it ain't. It ain't. It's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. You know what I mean? But listen, Jalen is the thing that makes this thing go. Obviously, we know that, right? I want Nick out of here, but you know they're not going to happen in the middle of the season. They're not going to do that. Jeffrey Lurie typically doesn't do that, so nobody need to be talking about that. But Jalen, if he doesn't play well, he pisses in between a rock and a hard place, because now we have to depend on a running back, and Saquon Barkley, who's still a great back, but he comes from a losing organization, and he has a lot of mileage on him. So we essentially turn to the New York Giants when we have to depend on him. We trade.
Don't look at it like that, Chuck. Don't look at it like that, Chuck.
No, I'm serious, man.
No, I hear you. That's why I started laughing. He said he come from a loser organization.
That's true.
I mean, it's the truth. He's a great player. I love Saquon, but we didn't bring him here to make him our vocal point of our offense, right? Can we agree on that?
You're right. He was supposed to be a great compliment.
Desperate times call for desperate measures,
boy,
man.
This is desperate in week four. My goodness.
I know he, but we in trouble, man. We need Lane back. That's number one. He's arguably the best right tackle in football. We need him back. We need A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Goddard to go with Saquon. You know, if we depended on Saquon, you know,
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Way that Jalen is playing, you know, he's playing equivalent to Daniel Jones.
No, come on. Hold up, Chuck.
Let me show you the numbers.
Don't do that, Chuck. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
I'm just saying. I mean,
no,
I'm
Chuck, don't do that. Not Daniel Jones, dog. Not Daniel Jones.
I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about, you know, past numbers.
He's my fantasy quarterback, too. He ain't gave me nothing. Daniel Jones ain't gave me nothing at fantasy football.
Why do you have Daniel Jones in fantasy football?
Because I needed another quarterback. He's not my starter.
Hugh?
He's not my starter, but he's my quarterback.
Hey, listen, I got Kyler Murray in one of my leagues, so you know how I feel about that, right? You know what I mean? I had to go get a short guy because I'm a short guy. You know what I mean? I represent. You know what I mean? No, listen, but I'm just saying, man, you know, back to Jalen, he's not moving the needle, so he picks us in between a rock and a hard place. And we essentially turn it into the Giants, man. I'm talking on offense. I mean, you look at this team, you know, we're not scoring a lot of points, and we're just squeaking out wins, and we're counting on a running back that has a lot of mileage on him, and we have no other resources now. The coach can't count on the coach to get us out of anything, and this ain't Kellen Moore's offense. It ain't. I'm sorry. I've seen Kellen Moore call offenses before. We all have. This ain't his offense. I don't know if they're trying to, you know, let Jalen play to his strengths, or if Nick Sirianni got his hand in the cookie jar. I don't know what's going on. I just know that Kellen Moore calls a better game than this. Nothing's adding up right now, man. This is why this 2-2 start is very tricky. And I tell you, the biggest thing that's going to happen to the Fluffy Eagles is if our guys come back healthy. Other than that, I have no faith.
Well, Chuck, you're not the only one, Chuck. We appreciate the phone call. I think they'll be able to be better on offense when they get those guys back, but it wasn't like they were lighting it up in week two or week three. All right, let's James Jones, you know, he made a point yesterday on FS1 about all this, and maybe we should be a little bit, you know, less harsh on Jalen because, heck, he didn't have his guys on Sunday.
We give every single quarterback a pass outside of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes when they don't have their weapons, let alone your tackle on the offensive side of the ball. Because we would do the same for Purdy if he didn't have Trent. We would do the same for Burrow. We would do the same for Herbert. We would do the same for all these quarterbacks except probably two. You two that's up there, y'all figure out a way to win with whatever we toss you out there with. So, Jalen Hurts, listen, I have to see him continue to play bad like this with AJ and Smitty and Goddard and Lane Johnson out there. And then I would say, you know what? It's real now.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? But right now, I'm not going to come off this Tampa game with none of his weapons, including his tackle, and say that Jalen Hurts is broken or anything like that.
So basically, saying, let's put the pause on this for a second.
That's fair. But at the same time, when he did have him out there, he was still making mistakes. He was still turning
week
the ball
one.
Over.
They had everybody week one.
Now, I am of the mindset that, you know, people are talking about he's, I wouldn't say bust, but they're talking about he's not that good and he might be middling. That's a fair assessment as well, because that's kind of where I'm at. Because when you talk about those other quarterbacks, they played well with lesser talent. They have played well. Jalen's not that guy.
For the record, because Chuck brought it up, I looked it up. Jalen's numbers are better than Daniel Jones. They're not just not enough better. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they're not blowing you away.
No, right? Like, yeah, he's better. I mean, he's
a better quarterback.
Obviously, he's better than Daniel Jones. I'd like the gap between their numbers to be significant, and it's like, yeah, he's better, but like that's the fact. The fact of the matter is, his numbers aren't very impressive.
And I will say this for a lot of fans, whether they want to admit it or not, when you put that hefty price tag by your name, you're expected to do a whole. You're expected to be extraordinary because you make all the money. Because it's funny to me that a lot of times when people talk about Jalen, they say, "Well, we paid him $250 million," and not realizing that's the going rate for quarterbacks.
So you and I keep having the same, you know, similar conversation. You're right. It is the going rate. But you have to at least be good to justify the money, because if you pay,
because it puts your team in a bind.
Right. Like, you know what? You know where I think we could point to? Obviously, the Eagles have spent their money on the offensive side, right? I remember when Russell Wilson got paid. I forget who had the line, the quote, but I heard it somewhere. It was like Russell, by signing Russell, this was, what, 8-9 years ago in Seattle? That means the Seahawks are going to lose 6 veteran defensive players, right? There's just not enough money to go around. So he had to make up for that as a quarterback.
Compensating.
The Eagles' defense looks like it does because they put all the money on offense,
then,
including Jalen.
Look what they did in the offseason. This is all you need to know about this team. They paid their quarterback $250 million. They went on offseason, got another running back, and overpaid for him.
Yeah.
In a league last year, think about this, people, where running backs really weren't getting paid that kind of money. They went out and got one. They went out and they paid 2 receivers. We talked about this a couple months ago when we talked about how no other team in NFL history has paid 2 wide receivers the way the Eagles paid them. Yep. You know why they did that? Because they knew that their quarterback needed talent around him in order to be successful. Everything that you needed to know about this quarterback was right there. We just chose not to see it. And I hate to say it, but I tried to tell y'all last week.
Here we go.
I tried to tell you. I have an agenda. No, I'm just saying.
I told you so, Douglas.
I hate to say it, but I tried to tell you last week. He going into a game against his nemesis without his guys. I tried to tell you.
Kyle, do you expect Hugh to come into work next week with a sling on his arm? Right? Because he's patting himself on the back so much lately.
No, I'm just saying.
Sore arm.
But this is where we got caught up at. Because we went into this game where we gave our quarterback $250 million.
That's right.
He got to make him better. Maybe he's average.
Well, maybe we're screwed.
No, we don't have to be screwed. We can win with average quarterback.
But win an average quarterback if you have a lot around him. Do we have – can you
– we do, but they were hurt. Well, everybody were hurt.
Forget the Eagles situation for a second. Just in general, can you win a Super Bowl with an average quarterback and a below average defense?
Yes.
No way, man. Yes, no way.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking my talk.
No way. This is agenda Douglas over here.
I'm getting Louisiana, man. We going this team. No I'm way. Willing it into existence. This team
no way.
Is going to the Super Bowl. We going.
I mean, come on.
We 2-2. We
are in the middle.
This is, look at it like a horse race. Right now, the race just started.
Yeah.
We in the middle of the pack. We right there.
We tripped and stumbled out of the gate.
We still good. No, Jacksonville tripped and fumbled. They out of it. They stumbled.
That horse is being put down. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls here after we talk to Seth Joyner. We'll get his thoughts on this, plus toss in the Phillies as well.